Hello, welcome to Project Wellness. My name is Dominique Liv-Kamal and I'm an award-winning naturopath and herbalist based in Queensland, Australia. Welcome to my podcast, Project Wellness. I'm super excited to share with you my work, and my work is all about wellness and joy. Today I'm doing part three of the detox series. Part one was all about a detox and why you're going to do a detox and how to have a detox attitude. Part two was going into fruits and vegetables and lots more new detox strategies that are going to make your detox successful. And now, on part three from my readings from the Wellness Zone, I'm going to share with you specifics on detoxing. Today we're going to cover a wholesome vegetarian detox. We're going to cover water fasting. We're covering juice cleansing. We're covering vitamin C therapy and how you can make these work in your life to make your detox successful. The first thing that I want to say to you today is when you're doing a detox, when you're doing a cleanse, stay inspired. One of the best ways to stay inspired is to listen to podcasts like this. Read books about cleansing and fasting. Watch YouTube clips and clips that people have made. Opt in to some really good people who know how to detox, who know how to cleanse, and it can successfully help you. I've been water fasting since I was 20 years of age. That's over 30 years of water fasting. I've been detoxing since I was a teenager. I've been juice cleansing my entire adult life, and I know how good I feel when I introduce these strategies into my life. To start with, they take all of the acid out of your system and alkalize your body. They cleanse cells. Detoxing just pumps through your body beautiful clean water, beautiful clean oxygen, and it's a super, super fast way to prevent illness. It is the fastest way to get healthy for you. The less congestion in your body, the better you're going to feel. So today I'm going to start out with reading about the wholesome vegetarian detox. This is a delicious and sustaining diet that allows you to get healthy and become energized while detoxing at the same time. You can easily sustain this way of eating for several months. You can sustain it for years. It's basically a vegan diet. Many people use this as their mainstay diet and only diverge from it occasionally. Anyone with any chronic illness would do so well to go onto the wholesome vegetarian detox plan or vegan diet to stay really healthy. You would fully emphasize fresh fruits and vegetables and keep the carbohydrate foods to a minimum. So it would be mostly eating fruits and vegetables. You can go for a whole day on fruits. You can go for a whole day on vegetables. You can go for weeks on end on just fruits and vegetables. You can just do a weekend on fruits and vegetables. What you need for this detox? Only foods from the vegetable and plant-based foods are eaten. These are used in healthy combinations that supply the body with balanced ratios of all of your nutrients. There is no dairy in this diet, unless you want to have some fresh ricotta cheese or fresh feta cheese. But really, you want to keep everything to a minimum except for fruits and vegetables. This detox diet is the optimal way to detox if you really want to just cut your food back, but you still want sustaining, nourishing food, and you want to really start to pump the putrefaction that's in your digestive tract out, really start to move that out. This is the best kind of detox plan if you need to cut out meats, you need to cut out grains, you need to cut out dairy, you need to cut out alcohol, you need to cut out everything in your diet because you want to do a detox, but you also want to keep working. You want to keep your energy up and you want to keep your lifestyle up. This detox plan is one that you can do anytime, and it's super successful. detoxing doesn't have to be juice cleansing or water fasting. Detoxing can be a pure vegetarian detox plan that is dairy-free, grain-free, meat-free. It's such a great way to cleanse and to detox. You can eat nuts and seeds on this detox to get the nourishment. A really good thing that we suggest on the Wholesome Vegetarian Detox Plan is to have 15 grams of sunflower seeds a day, 15 grams of sesame seeds a day, 15 grams of almonds a day, 15 grams of flaxseed a day, and 15 grams of pumpkin seed a day. Now, lots of people do this because they can be added into any meal at any time, and they're just really going to help you get essential fatty acids, nutrients, minerals, and they're also going to be working on your digestive tract and just going in there and working as a little bit of a sort of push through, just to help all of the fruits and vegetables go through, and it's really adding to your diet. We also suggest that you have dietary fiber on this diet. No eggs, no meat, no processed foods. And here's the tough one: no coffee, no stimulants, no tea, except for herbal teas. You can include dandelion tea or coffee, which is actually very palatable. It's bitter. It's going to work on your liver. Don't have any icy cold foods on this detox plan. Nothing out of the fridge. Just keep your foods at room temperature. No frozen foods. Drink your water at room temperature. Have no iced foods or very cold salads. And have these freshly prepared as close to room temperature as possible. Try not to have any breads, even gluten-free breads. You can have some brown rice. You can have some lentils, chickpeas, or other vegetable-derived substances, so long as they're whole and unprocessed. You can have tofu if you want to. You can have tempeh if you want to. You need to have some protein. So some really good ways to have protein is to mix corn and lentils together. That creates complete protein. Every waking hour that you're awake, try to have 200 mils of warm herbal tea, juice or water. And this is easily achieved when you have one drink every hour that is a standard size drink. So that's a beautiful mug of herbal tea, warm water, or a nice glass of water. You really want to get the pump going through your body. You can also have as many fruits and vegetable juices as you like. You can have one meal or more meals a day that's replaced with a fruit or vegetable juice or a delicious dairy-free vegan smoothie. Alternatively, you can have your food steamed, cooked low-fat wok style, as in stir fries. You can roast casseroles, use a slow cooker, and have vegetable stews and casserole type of meals. Roasted veggies, this is all according to your desires. You can have any starchy vegetables you like, potatoes, yams, kumara, sweet potatoes, turnips, beetroot, carrots. You can have nutritional supplements as recommended by your healthcare practitioner or supplements that you regularly take. When I'm talking about nutritional supplements, I'm not talking about tablets or capsules. I'm talking about powders. What about some nice green powders? Some nice pea protein powder, some beautiful vitamin C powder. This is a wonderful thing to add to your diet. You can have psyllium hull powder. This all depends upon your health status. You can have beetroot powder if you like. You have what you need. If you want to have a super sustainable and nourishing detox plan, You are simply doing the detox by the fact that you are having a pure vegetarian, non-dairy, non-starchy, as in grains and cereals, diet. You can add any herbs that you like to this, whether you're taking herbal extractions. For example, our beautiful herbal detox blend, which we talked about in the last blog, which is milk thistle as a hepatoprotective with globe artichoke, which works on your gallbladder and your liver. And then you've also got dandelion root. There's lots of beautiful cleansing herbs, fennel, peppermint. Make these into teas. Drink these things or have the herbal extractions. You really want to add herbs because they're targeting detoxification pathways in your body. Turmeric and ginger work on the phase 2 detoxification pathway in your liver, which is the hormonal detoxification pathway. Taking kelp in your diet, as we talked about in the last blog, is super important because it's a heavy metal chelator and it's also high in iodine, and iodine is a wonderful cleanser for the body on all levels. Eating lots of onions with the salicylic acid, etc., are fantastic in this herbal detox vegetarian plan. If you have any chronic illness, you would do well to take this slowly. So introduce the diet slowly, and you can stay on the diet sustainably for quite a long time. It's really important. If you have a chronic illness, for example, chronic fatigue syndrome, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, any kind of kidney disease, any kind of liver condition where your liver's congestion, if you're going through menopause, if you have viruses or post-viral syndromes, if you feel as though you want to fall pregnant and you're going through a fertility program, if you have any kind of congestive disease or inflammatory disease in your body, then the Wholesome Vegetarian Detox Plan is a really good way to detox. Like, I know lots of people that will do this just for the weekend, which is really, really super healthy for your body. There are no portion controls on this detox plan. Eat as much as you like and when you like. Of course, if you want to lose weight, you can have portion controlling on it. But generally, you eat what you like and when you like, providing the foods are within the range of the Wholesome Vegetarian Detox guidelines. It's an excellent diet to help eliminate toxins. You cannot have alcohol on this detox, and you certainly don't want to have any drugs or smoke or take any pharmaceutical medications. If you are on any of these, then please talk to me. Talk to your healthcare practitioner, talk to your naturopathic doctor, talk to a practitioner who can help you. You will eliminate these toxins from the body, and it will be harder for you to get into the detox if you are on any drugs or medications. So having somebody supporting you is really important, as I talked about in our last blogs. Make sure you stay on this detox as long as you necessary to clean the body, or do it intermittently to clean the body. Say, for example, you make the commitment to yourself to do the Wholesome Vegetarian Detox 2 days a week. Stick to it for those 2 days a week, because this is developing detox discipline and it's also developing metabolic flexibility. The Wholesome Vegetarian Detox Plan is a very clear and definitive way to develop metabolic flexibility. What that is it's your body allowing itself to have meals at different times, different styles of food, going for different periods of time with and without eating, and having very clear cleansing foods, and allowing your body to start to flush and then to start to eat again, flush, eat, flush, eat. That is metabolic flexibility. And going on the Wholesome Vegetarian Detox Plan is a very good way to do that. Whether you do it every day or whether you do it for a few days a week, you will benefit so much from this plan. Many people do this detox during the week, and then on the weekends follow a different diet. So it's a great diet for the days when you're working, when you're busy. This way you'll be able to enjoy going out and having a few drinks on the weekend, and then spend the working week cleansing your body with a wholesome vegetarian detox plan. Other people vary it by making it non-vegetarian and incorporating various animal sources like whey powder, maybe eggs, organic meats, wild ocean fish, depending upon your personal choice and dietary needs. So you do the wholesome vegetarian detox strictly through X amount of days through the week, and then you can add in other foods on other days of the week, and then you move it up and down accordingly. This diet is also so well combined with juice cleansing or water fasting as well, which I'm also going to talk about in this podcast today. So that's exciting. If you have any chronic illness, please incorporate some protein powder into the wholesome vegetarian detox. And I personally recommend pea protein powder. I also recommend that you all incorporate spirulina into this. It's one of my favorites. Now, I'm going to talk about water. We all know that we should drink water, but do you know why? I'm now giving you the lowdown on water in your body, where it's located, what are the percentages? What happens when you become dehydrated? What happens when you drink too much water? Why water is so important anyway? You'll find yourself swilling water with enthusiasm after listening to this part of my blog. Water, H2O, two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. It's the real stuff. When we can add in any particles that have attached themselves along the way, such as minerals, toxins, synthetic chemicals, that just love water. There are hydrolytic molecules that just love to attach themselves to hydrogen atoms and are water loving. These readily dissolve in water, such as sodium-based chemicals. Then there are hydrophobic molecules which are repulsed by water, such as fatty lipid-based molecules which require some form of mixing or emulsification to blend with water. The way molecules are attached or repulsed to water is important in your body, as this determines how nutrients are absorbed and assimilated through your system. Water is the essence of life. This above all else, except the air we breathe in, is the most important factor for your health. There are negative and positive ions in your body. Many trace minerals and elements are only usable in your body when they've been converted to this ion formulation. This occurs when minerals dissolve readily in water. We need to drink water so that there is sufficient fluid in our body for this process to occur, along with many other processes involved with hydration and metabolism. Hey, so where is the water in my body? The total amount of water in your body is dependent upon your fat content. Adipose, aka fat tissue, is only about 10% water, as opposed to many other body tissues. An overweight person's body fluids may only be 55%, whilst a lean person can contain as much as 75% total water in their body weight. There are fluid compartments in your body, both inside and outside the cells. About 40% of your water content is found inside your cells, and another 20% is found outside. So an average 70 kilo person would have about 45 litres of water in their body, with 15 litres located outside the cells, known as extracellular fluid, and 30 litres inside the cells, known as intracellular fluid. Blood accounts for about 4 litres of the extracellular fluid, that is 5% of your body weight, and water in your connective tissue accounts for about 9% of this weight. Another 4% of water is located in your bones and collagen. Other extracellular fluid is located in the digestive tract, cerebrospinal fluid, in your eyeball, in your pleural, in your pericardial, your peritoneal, and your synovial fluids. Plus, of course, the thyroid glands, sweat glands, and cochlea endolymph in your ears. So now we know where fluid lives in our body. We know it constantly needs to be replaced. And we know that this process happens most obviously through the foods we eat and the beverages we drink. The fluid in your body is always on the move. Old molecules of water need to be constantly replaced by new. Water that enters your body passes into the gastrointestinal tract and is absorbed through the small intestine, where it visits the liver for filtration before moving on to the rest of your body. Blood cells take up new molecules in less than 1 second, and brain tissue takes up water very fast, exchanging the old for new in less than every 2 minutes. These molecules are constantly being replaced, with the old molecules entering the blood and being taken around the body to be filtered by your kidneys and liver cells, ensuring that the most toxic molecules are excreted and taken out of the body, taken out of action through your urine, or some get stored in your liver. You lose about 3-6% of your body's water each day. Therefore, a person who has 45 litres of water in the body will lose 1.5 to 3 litres every day. This water loss needs to be replaced. However, our bodies have some awesome mechanisms in place to bring water loss right down to zeros in times of non-replacement. This is how you can manage to accumulate fluid in your body at times when you're not drinking enough body. The body will automatically slow down the water turnover cycle. Keep your water cycle going simply by having a glass of water each time you urinate, and try to drink a glass of water every half an hour or so during hot weather, as you will lose fluids in sweat in the summer as well as the urine cycle. I'm reading from my book, The Wellness Zone, here. We have sold 10,000 copies. It's no longer in print. It's available as an ebook on my website, medicineroom.com.au. I'm on page 199 now, and I'm telling you that water carries toxins out of your body. There needs to be a minimal rate of urine formation to allow removal of toxins and water-soluble metabolites. Urea is formed as amino acids are broken down and excreted as urine. This is almost like ammonia, and it's very acidic in the body. Many other potentially toxic byproducts enter the kidneys for filtration and excretion through your urine. So it's essential to keep the water cycle going in your body for toxicity removal and natural detoxing. A lot of water is evaporated from your body in sweat and in your exhaling breath. As vapor is derived from the respiratory tract surfaces, water is lost through skin evaporation and then sweat because the skin surface is not completely dry and the cells contain moisture. Water is also lost through feces in your digestive tract. The rate of water loss from sweating is variable depending on your personal thermoregulation and metabolism, the environment, the amount of exercise you do, stress, sweating, and other factors which may lead to loss of between 1 and 5 litres of water a day. If you find that you are sweating more than usual in hotter weather, take this into account with your water intake and add an extra 1 to 5 litres of water to your diet. Add in a tiny bit of sea salt. Drink coconut water. You do need minerals and electrolytes. Don't panic though. Water comes in many forms. You don't always have to drink it in its pure form. Where do I get water in my diet? Water is in all the foods you eat. I'll give you an example. Meat eaters. A rare steak is 40% water, whereas a well-done steak or piece of meat is 25% water. An apple is 85% water. Most fruits and vegetables are high in water, with watermelon sitting at over 90%. That is why I use watermelon very often when I'm coming off a water fast. Cauliflower, strawberries, marrow, beans, mango, rock melon, cucumber, broccoli, all sit around 90% water content. Cereals, breads and dry foods and anything like dried fruit, they're sitting at a very low content of water. So they're going to be sucking up the water in your digestive tract that your body needs. That's why when we're doing the wholesome vegetarian detox plan, we're not having many dried foods. We're having mostly fruits and vegetables because we're nourishing and providing water in our body. That is why the core of any detox plan is water, wet foods, fruits, vegetables. It's not that hard to get your daily quota of water, and it's an essential ingredient for longevity. I'm now going to tell you about the regulation mechanisms. I find it interesting that when I wrote this in my book, The Wellness Zone, many people said to me after they read this section that they had never heard of our body having regulation mechanisms for water. Well, of course it does. Every organism has a regulation mechanism, and here are ours. Obviously, you can't regulate exactly the amount of water you take into your body. So magically, your body's going to do this for you. Yes, your intake can be it can vary from day to day, and the rate of loss can also vary. However, the water percentages in the body do not vary. They are stable, and there are some interesting mechanisms in place to control this process. Your hypothalamus is the coordinating center in your brain for the feedback information that regulate water in the body. This receives input from the detectors, such as the osmotic pressure in your blood, as in your blood pressure. The greater this osmotic pressure, the greater is your need for water intake. The left atrium in your heart also has a detector which influences the water balance in your body. When water levels are low, this is reflected in reduced blood pressure, which in turn reduces the pressure in the left atrium. Physiological factors also impinge on your regulatory centers in the hypothalamus. Sight, smell, and taste of foods can also influence these activities. A reduced level of water in the body is detected as an increase in the osmotic pressure in your blood, and as a reduced pressure in your left atrium is already mentioned. The main response to this is to increase water retention through the collecting ducts in your kidney. This will reduce urine volume and return larger amounts of water to your blood. This mechanism is the release of antidiuretic hormone, ADH, from your posterior pituitary gland. This hormone increases the permeability of the collecting ducts and allows a greater rate of water reabsorption. The second mechanism for increasing water retention or decreasing water loss involves the kidneys alone, without the influence of the hypothalamus. Once reduced blood pressure is detected in the kidneys, the enzyme renin is secreted. This promotes another hormone called aldosterone from your adrenal glands. This hormone acts on your renal tubules to promote the reabsorption of sodium ions. Where salt goes, water follows. So you can imagine how this mechanism quickly reverses water loss from the kidneys, reducing urine flow. The downside here is that you will be recirculating all those nasty toxins through your system until you are able to have enough hydration for the kidneys to choose to let them out again through the urine. This is very important because what this means is that if we have reduced consumption of water in our body, then we are starting to recirculate through our body more and more concentrated forms in the blood, which contain more toxins. So by keeping our water intake up in our diet, we are providing our body with a mechanism so that it keeps the gates open at the kidneys and allows the urine to keep flowing. So one of the very first signs that you may not have enough consumption of water and fluids in your body is that you are not urinating very often. The third neck mechanism that ensures you don't have a water deficit in the body is the thirst response. Remember that the thirst response may not come naturally. Do not wait for thirst before you know that you need to drink. The greater your water deficit, the greater will be your thirst. This mechanism can easily be ignored with mild dehydration. However, once your body has reduced urine output and continues to do so, then you will become more and more thirsty. Thirst is part of the high homeostatic regulation of body water, but unlike the other two mechanisms, it's not automatic. However, if the sensation becomes extreme and dehydration threatens our survival, the ability to control thirst becomes impossible. These three mechanisms for controlling water in the body will be reversed when there is sufficient water in the body or when our intake becomes excessive. It's really good to see why we need to drink water and why it's so important to keep our body fluids in balance. Many illnesses and diseases can be avoided when we are sufficiently hydrated. And when I talk about hydration, I want to say that clean, pure hydration is the most important factor. Imagine all those water molecules clogged up with salts and sugars from refined foods. For new cells to be healthy in all organs, you need to give them the right nutrients. For this, water is the main carrier, and the water needs to be clean. Our body has the ability to make water molecules from the metabolism of protein in the liver. This occurs naturally, and our body is able to filter out many of the poisons and toxins through our liver and kidneys. But let's make the job easier by cooking clean foods and reducing the workload on these organs. Enjoy your water. And make time every day to put your health first. The importance of detoxification cannot be overemphasized on my podcast to you today. It is so important that you give your body a rest. And now I'm going to talk to you about the ultimate rest for your body. The most pure and cleansing thing that you can do for your body if and when you are ready. And this is the pure water fast. If you want to do a pure water fast, then start with one day, 24 hours, and work your way up in time. This is the strongest way to detox. You eat nothing and you will eliminate poisons and toxins from your body swiftly. Just before I start reading this section of my book to you, I just want to make it super clear. If you're on any medications, if you have never water fasted, if you are using any drugs, if you are a smoker, if you have any addictions, if you have any emotional feelings where you're super uncomfortable, then try to water fast for maybe 24 hours, but do it supervised. I'm really happy to help you. Call me, talk to me, email me. Let's have a Skype consult. It's really easy to help you through this process. And if you've been doing the Wholesome Vegetarian Detox Plan on weekends for a few weeks, or if you've been doing juice cleansing and you're able to go for 24 hours on a good juice cleanse, then you should be able to go 24 hours on a pure water fast. one of the hardest things on a water fast is your mind, because you're not eating. But one of the best things on a water fast is that you are transforming your body. It is transformational. It is mentally, emotionally, esoterically, energetically, emotionally transformative. I love water fasting myself. I did a 7-day water fast recently that was just like enlightening for me. It completely changed so much about me and within me. I loved it so much. I do 24-hour water fasts generally every week. Sometimes I take them up to 72 hours. I often do a 36-hour water fast. I just love it. My body loves it. It is so good for me on every level. And I can't emphasize enough how healthy your body becomes from water fasting and how clear your mind becomes from water fasting. But I will now continue reading from my book. I'm so excited about this. I really am. I'm excited for you that you can hear this and that you can do this for your body too, to bring health and wellness to your body. What you need for a pure water fast. Okay, you wake up one morning, it's really simple, and you have only water. Make sure the water is good water, and use rainwater, spring water, bottled water, clean river water, clean water. You know, make sure the water's good. Water, it's not tap water from a town supply with additives. Rainwater or spring water is good. However, in this world today, people just sometimes don't trust any water. And then some people trust every water. Get the best water you can drink. And try to drink in small sips. And try to go through 2 liters of water in the morning and 2 liters of water in the afternoon. Generally, when I do a water fast, I'm aiming for 4 liters of water or herb teas during that day, during a 24-hour period. I have little sips of water. I have little old-fashioned coffee cups that hold about 90 mils of water in them, and I sip those through the day. I like to have small amounts of water so that it's absorbed in my body. And the reason why I like to have small amounts of water and not do full water pushes very often is because if I have small amounts of water, imagine if you pump 2 liters of water in your body all at once, which is just pure water. Imagine the dilution to your blood and the electrolytes and nutrients that are traveling around in your blood being so compromised and being so diluted. That to me is not healthy. Whereas if you have small amounts of water, like little 100 ml lots of water, and you spread that across your entire waking day, then you are not diluting the electrolytes in your blood. And for me, that is super important. That means your blood is gently carrying the poisons and toxins from the cells back into the bloodstream, gently eliminating it through your urine, gently traveling, gently, gently, gently. If you want to do a water push, then you drink 1 full liter of water and then you will urinate very quickly. But I recommend that if you're going to do that, you add a tiny pinch of salt to it. If you are not going to do the water push, then just take the water in small increments through the day. So in a 24-hour period, for my body personally, I like to have 4 liters of water when I'm doing a pure water fast, and that is taken in water or herb teas. Your body will be feeding off the toxins and poisons after 24 hours. So the first 24 hours, generally, you're going to feel hungry, and there's a lot of mental stimulation, a lot of thought around food because of the daily habits. Try to drop this, free up your time, and get on with other projects. The first 24 hours, your body is using the glycogen that is stored in your liver. And then after that, the miracle happens. Your body clicks into gluconeogenesis, and that's the ketogenic process. And then you start to eat, first of all, when you're on pure water,
you start to eat your body's toxins and poisons, and then you start to eat fatty tissue, as in adipose, fatty tissue. Your body starts to operate off ketones, and ketones are our brain's most favorite preferred fuel. Your body prefers ketones over glycogen 100%. Your mind becomes sharp. Your body is feeding off its toxins and body fats until they're eventually gone. And if you stayed on a fast long enough, you would eventually be eating your own muscle. But that does not happen quickly. It will not happen. As I said, I did a 7-day water fast recently. I was definitely still eating my fuel storages. We have a lot of fuel storage. 72 hours on a pure water fast is something that I do regularly, and it's unsupervised, but you need to be pretty healthy and you need to be fasting savvy to do that. This is for a well-seasoned cleanser. It's literally the fastest way to detox, and it's also the fastest way to get headaches, diarrhea, nasty feelings from the past coming back to haunt you. You really need to, if you're going to do a water fast, it's almost like you become seasoned. And when I was talking about metabolic flexibility earlier, this is exactly why you want to develop metabolic flexibility, so that you can become a faster. So often doing a water fast for 24 hours, if you can do a water fast doing a water fast for, say, 16 hours, where you go from dinner one night and all you're having is herb teas and waters for 16 hours, and then maybe you'll go into a wholesome vegetarian detox for the rest of the day, and then the next morning wake up, and then you can try to do the water fast for 24 hours and see how you go from that morning until the following morning and see how that goes. You know, from the dinner the night before until the dinner the next night. That's a 24-hour water fast. And practice doing that. If you want to lose weight, a great way to lose weight is to do alternate day fasting, where you fast for 24 hours and you eat for 24 hours and you fast for 24 hours and you eat for 24 hours. This gives you metabolic flexibility, and this also helps you lose weight, and it helps your metabolism stay fast. Because if you're water fasting, and if you're water fasting for a week, your metabolism is going to slow down in that process. There comes a point when your metabolism will slow down, and that's different for each individual. Water fasting is literally the fastest way to detox. As poisons are coming up from the body, you get headaches, some people get diarrhea, some people get emotional, you know, issues coming up. You will feel good in your mind as you develop the personal discipline of water fasting. So you've got to remember, as Paul Bragg, who was a water faster, who wrote the book about fasting that I first read in the 1980s. That was my first introduction to fasting, was Paul Bragg. And he used to say this saying, which I love, and it's flesh is dumb. So when you have a water fast, you have to ignore and repel feelings of hunger. You will only stay hungry for the first day or two. And if you continue to fast, you'll probably feel sick and be resting a lot on the second day, as a lot of poisons and toxins are coming up. So resting, I always rest when I'm fasting. I keep my schedule super light. If I'm just doing a 1-day water fast, I can do it anywhere. I can be doing it traveling. I can be doing it working. I can do it anywhere. A 24-hour water fast for me now, because of my metabolic flexibility, is great. It feels really good. But if I take it beyond that first day into day two or into day three, I start to feel like toxins start to come up, and I often find that I need to rest for day two, which I just love doing. So as toxins are released from your cells and are swirling around in your bloodstream, you'll really feel it on day two. But on day three, elation starts to kick in and you feel blissful and full of energy. This is natural. This is prehistoric, because you imagine that when there wasn't any food and that you had to go out hunting for food, of course your body's not going to just take all of your energy away. Your body on day three is going to say, okay, time to go hunting. Time to get out there. Time to go hunting. So you do secrete cortisol when you're fasting as well. That's why I like to rest when I'm fasting. But on day three, I feel super clear. My mind is great. For me, it's a wonderful time to write. I can do lots of things like that. Sometimes I think it's good to end, if you're going to do regular fasting, I think stop after, you know, 48 to 72 hours. Get on with your normal diet, or do alternative fasting, and I'm happy to help you with this, as I said. Technically, water fasting is the only true fast. It's not called fasting if you're not water fasting. Every other method of detoxing is classified as a cleanse. So don't expect any bowel movements while on your water fast. Your whole digestive tract will stop, and this is necessary if you wish to have a series of colonic irrigations while you're before your fast, or after your fast, or during your fast. You can do this. If you want to use enemas to help your cleansing process, you can do this. Some people recommend that you do enemas every day when you're fasting to help pull out the toxins. Some people recommend that you have colonic irrigations before fasting, during fasting, after fasting. It's completely up to you. Fasting, but is literally resting your body. You're giving your digestive tract the well-earned rest. So don't take laxatives, don't take any herbal supplements, don't take spirulina, don't take protein powders. Really, in my mind, don't take fiber, don't take bentonite clay. Just have herb teas and water and nothing else. Have everything at room temperature. My favorite teas when I'm personally fasting are peppermint tea, and I love chamomile tea. Sometimes when I'm fasting, I take our golden zing turmeric blend, which is, I make a beautiful blend in the herbal dispensary where we use organic dried ginger root and turmeric root with black pepper. And when I'm on a water fast, I sometimes make a pot of this, and I don't put anything in it. There's no lemon in it when I'm on a water fast. When I'm on a pure water fast, I do not put lemon. I do not put apple cider vinegar. I do not put anything in my herb teas. Sometimes, occasionally, a little pinch of salt for electrolytes, but that would be it. And that, for me, would only be once every 2 or 3 days. Fasting is literally resting your body. Remember this. If you suffer from headaches, feel sick, or you're totally wiped out, then you may be taking the fast a little bit too fast for your body. Slow down the pure water fast. It's pretty simple. You just have a glass of some juice that is very, very light. My preferred juice is either cucumber juice, watermelon juice, or celery juice. Preferably celery juice with a little bit of lemon in it. Just have 1, 2, 3 of those. You can even continue that for the rest of that day and then go back to the water fast if you need to, or you can transition into a juice cleanse that I'll tell you about in a moment. If you suffer from any headaches, or you're totally wiped out, give yourself that grace. Give yourself that time. Make sure you drink at least 200 mils of liquid while you're on the water fast every hour or so. Remember, I drink 4 liters of liquid a day, and that's room temperature or warm, nothing out of the fridge. If I'm going to go out to dinner with my friends, I will take a bottle of sparkling mineral water, and I will drink that while everybody else is eating. I maintain pure discipline during my water fast. I generally will clear my schedule. There's been so much research into water fasting. After 72 hours of water fasting, did you know your immunity does a complete reset? There's so much incredible research and information into water fasting and how your body really relaxes rejuvenates and heals from water fasting. It's something that doesn't have to be done on a regular basis either. You can just decide to do a 10-day water fast or a 1-day water fast or a 2-week water fast in a supervised environment. And there's some wonderful places that you can travel to in South America, in Thailand, even here in Australia, where you can do a beautiful water fast. Come and talk to me. In the springtime, we often hold water fasting, juice cleansing, and wholesome vegetarian detox plans where you can come and stay with me in a private home, and the only people who are there are people who are water fasting, juice cleansing, or vegetarian detoxing. And we have very small numbers of people when we do this, so I'm happy to help you. The juice cleanse. Most people love a good juice, but the privilege and the lushness, really, to stay on this for a weekend or even for a day is such a treat. What you need for this detox. Often with the juice cleanse, you just need to really tune in to where you are. It can be whatever you need, and you can focus on any specific organs in your body. It's really important that you go on a really good juice cleanse. And what I've realized here now as I'm going through this podcast is that talking about juice cleansing is something that is a treat. It's lush. Remember that when we were doing our wholesome vegetarian detox plan, we were eating. Well, that's a lot of energy for the body still eating. And there's a lot of congestion and putrefaction that's built up in the digestive tract. But when we do a juice cleanse, we're soaking up all of that putrefaction and we're flushing it out. We're mineralizing our body. We're going through all the systems in our body and we're just having this beautiful shunt and pumping of gorgeous nutrients coming in through juices in the most simple digestive format and flushing our body of poisons and toxins. Most people love a good juice, and fruit is the most refreshing and cleansing food you can eat. Seasonal fruits and vegetables, juiced or blended into delicious concoctions, are all the rage these days. Almost every corner has a juice bar. Every cafe sells juices. Juices can be super cheap, especially when you use local foods. Get yourself a juicer, whether it's from the op shop or whether it's a beautiful new juicer. It's something that every household needs. Often with a juice cleanse, you really need to tune in how you're feeling at the time. On one cleanse, you may be obsessed with the idea of liver cleansing and detoxification on that level. And in that case, you would need lots of carrots, which contain beta-carotene, lemon juice, parsley, barley grass, spirulina. The list of juices and their medicinal properties is endless. Basically, you can pick and choose what you want for this detox. And if you read my book, The Magic of Food is Medicine, where we've got three sections, one section on fruits, one section on vegetables, and one section of herbs, we have gone into over 200 fruits, vegetables, and herbs and why they are good for you. And I recommend that you download the ebook from my book, The Magic of Food is Medicine, as well, to be in combination with this work from my book, The Wellness Zone. Basically, you can pick and choose what you want for fruits and vegetables depending upon how you're feeling. Say, for example, digestive tract health is the first path to wellness. We all know this. So you want to weed out the poisons and toxins, and then you want to seed the prebiotics and the nutrients. Juices are so easily absorbed, and even those who are suffering from chronic illness can readily benefit from the nutrients and enhance your wellness zone. Juice cleansing is an excellent regular detoxifier. It is the next level of cleansing after the pure water fast, and you're getting nutrition and you're able to flush toxins at the same time in the simplest and least invasive manner on your body. One thing that I recommend is that you have a day of pure just cleansing, followed by a day of pure water fasting, followed by a day of pure just cleansing, and then you enter into a wholesome vegetarian detox plan, and that is a beautiful way to detox. However, with a juice cleanse, it takes up to 3 days to get the same cleansing benefit as you would on a pure water fast for 1 day. So it is slower, but it is also more revitalizing on some levels as far as being able to maintain your daily lifestyle. It takes 24 hours on a pure water fast to go into gluconeogenesis, whereas it may take 72 hours or longer to go into gluconeogenesis on a juice cleanse and to get the same results. However, on a juice cleanse, you will have a constant stream of energy as you are feeding your body nutrients the whole time and you're fueling your metabolism regularly. So you're increasing your thermogenesis, you're increasing your metabolic flexibility, and you're assisting eliminating toxins in the most gentle way. Try plain old-fashioned carrot and celery juice with one clove of garlic, one onion, and the juice of one lemon. Take this 8 times a day. It's a potent potion. Add a bit of pure wheatgrass or barley juice, and you're on a Zoom super fast cleanse. You can take spirulina powder or maca powder mixed in with any of your juices for extra nourishment, energy, and cleansing. To try to get as much cellular recovery as possible while you're on a juice cleanse, really visualize those cells pumping through the juices and imagine your lymphatic system flushing away all the built-up debris from the past. You can't really get these results when any food is included in the diet, only with juices or water. As soon as you're eating food, your body really does start to work again. So the energy is kind of reversed and you're absorbing more instead of eliminating. Make your policy for toxins better out than in and get them out. I just want to say that whenever you eat food, you start to secrete and kick in insulin. When you don't eat and you give your body a complete rest, you're not secreting insulin from your pancreas, so you're not storing. When you're on a pure water fast, that is the quickest way to lose weight, and it is the quickest way to reverse diabetes type 2. Having vegetable juice cleansing and not kicking in the insulin to the same degree as when you're eating hardened foods, like all regular dietary foods, you are using less insulin. So the less sugar in the foods that you're juicing, the less insulin you're secreting. This is why I recommend pure celery and lemon juice. It's alkalizing the body, it's flushing, it's pumping, it's giving you minerals, and it's reducing your insulin secretions. The less you eat, the less insulin you secrete. It's that simple. The less messages you send to your body to store, the more you're flushing poisons and toxin, and the more you're using old fat tissue. You can drink carrot juice until the palms of your hands are bright orange. Beta-carotene is a precursor to vitamin A. It's not vitamin A. You need vegetable-derived beta-carotene to make vitamin A when you don't have enough. However, if you do have enough, then the beta-carotene will be eliminated harmlessly. All that extra cancer protection from the antioxidants makes it worth the trouble to drink large amounts of carrot juice on a juice cleanse. For what carrot juice the beta-carotene does is it works on your cells and goes in and acts as a heavy metal chelator and pulls toxins out of the cells of your body and pumps them out through your urine. How awesome is that? Just by having a carrot juice cleanse, you are taking heavy metals and toxins out of your body. Add juices to your normal daily dietary plan whenever you can. They're a great source of nutrients and a delicious way to avoid real food and to cleanse your body and get nutrients. A juice cleanse is really good when you're able to avoid the world for a whole weekend. Doing a whole weekend juice cleanse is perfect. You can start on Friday night when you come in from the week and go all the way to Monday morning. drinking up to 13 juices a day. Drink one juice every hour you're awake. Make great big pitchers of jugs of juice and just pop them on the bench. Stir them when you want to drink them and drink them. Juice cleansing days need to be treated as special days, as sometimes it's hard to get through the afternoon. A seasoned cleanser with metabolic flexibility will have developed tricks to survive the afternoon hours and avoid breaking the cleanse at dinner time. So one of the things that I do in this case is I sometimes boil up lots of vegetables or even just a single vegetable like an onion in a lot of water, add a pinch of salt and just a squeeze of lemon juice, filter off the onion and just drink the juice. I do this with cabbage and broccoli as well. This is super healthy because it's adding prebiotics to my body while I'm on my juice cleanse. You can actually take a little teaspoon of a non-MSG vegetable stock powder that's low in sodium, add it into a cup and pour in boiling water, stir it and drink this in the evenings or during the day in the winter if you want something warm and nourishing while you're on a juice cleanse. Make sure that if you can, use organic fruits and vegetables. Recent research has shown that even 1 week of eating organic foods brings down the toxic free radical and the pesticide levels in your blood. Another option for a juice cleanse is to make a seaweed broth. Take some dried seaweed, add it to water and bring it to the boil for 5 minutes. Stay pure on this diet and don't chew anything. This is a pure liquid diet. This is not really a smoothie diet and it's not a mashed up fruit and vegetable diet. It's the juice diet. It's the light diet. It's more of an osmotic diet. So everything is going through your body through osmosis and not using digestion, not using heavy digestion. The juice cleanse, I love, love, love doing a 3-day juice cleanse. After 3 days on a juice cleanse, I am feeling amazing. I love 3-day juice cleanses. I love a 1-day juice cleanse. You can take the any morning detox plan and turn it into a juice cleanse. You can take the any evening detox plan and turn it into a juice cleanse. You can turn anything into a juice cleanse. You can turn anything into a juice cleanse. It's so much fun. You know, going on a 10-day juice cleanse unsupervised is really easy once you've developed your metabolic flexibility for detoxing. So start, as I said, with the wholesome vegetarian detox and then work your way into metabolic flexibility with juice cleansing. When you're on a 10-day juice cleanse, or when you're even on a 3-day juice cleanse, don't take any supplements unless they're powders that you can add in. I personally, sometimes when I'm doing a 3 to 10-day juice cleanse, I'll have a teaspoon of like psyllium hull or something like that every day in one of my juices, and I start to really start pulling the toxins through my body because I see this as a wonderful way to get rid of the putrefaction in my body. And one of the other things that I really love to do is, I really want you to know that, you can do some really good strategies, like, for example, the what vitamin C therapy when you're on a detox, a juice cleanse as well. Like the vitamin C therapy is something that I often do before I do a water fast, and I often do it when I'm on a juice cleanse. And I'm just going to talk to you about this. And I use vitamin C, which is ascorbate, ascorbic acid, or calcium ascorbate, which is the calcium ascorbate is the vitamin C that I talk about when I do an oral vitamin C therapy. Now, this, I buy vitamin C powder when I do vitamin C therapy. Once again, please connect with me. My email is wellness@medicineroom.net. That's wellness, W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S, @medicineroom.net. If you want to connect with me about any of this, but for vitamin C therapy especially, I'm happy to talk you through it. We can do a Skype consult, work out an exact plan for you. Okay, so as humans, we don't make our own vitamin C. Most other animals make their own vitamin C. Vitamin C is a super antioxidant and it's needed by the adrenal glands. So, for example, you're a kangaroo and you're skipping across the road and you almost get hit by a car and you're under an incredible amount of stress. What happens is you, as a kangaroo, will make your own vitamin C. Us as humans, we can't do this. So this is one of the things that leads to adrenal fatigue, but that's another podcast. Right now, I'm telling you how to do vitamin C therapy because you possibly are going to want to do it during your detox. It's a wonderful way to pull putrefaction out of the digestive tract, to pull super antioxidants. It goes into the liver. I just love vitamin C therapy, and I do it on my body regularly, okay? So I'm an absolute advocate of this. Vitamin C is a trace nutrient, and you need very little of it to stay alive, but without any at all, you will die. Even 60 milligrams a day will prevent scurvy. However, this is a minimum amount, and at this dose, you will not have optimal health. So remember all the stories about, you know, like sailors out at sea in the old days and them taking lemons with them? Well, it prevents scurvy. Scurvy is an illness that is really dangerous. And also, too, if you've got lack of vitamin C, you're going to have weak gums, could even have loose teeth. Any gum disease is often associated with lack of vitamin C. Most animals make their own vitamin C. However, we can't do this, so it's an essential nutrient. And the more stressed you become, the more vitamin C you will need in your diet. It's also a very good detox tool, and at moderate levels of consumption, say 500 to 1500 milligrams a day for an adult, the vitamin works to build health and acts as an antioxidant. Research has shown that fewer colds and the severity and duration of influenza is less. However, at high levels, say 8,000 to 40,000 milligrams a day for an adult, we begin to obtain therapeutic properties for this vitamin. And this can be taken orally or intravenously. There is a lot of skepticism and there's a lot of discussion around vitamin C therapies. I'm just telling you what I do. I'm not saying you have to do this, but this is what I do, okay? So it's for me. So if you want to do vitamin C therapy, then I really recommend that you work with someone who is, you know, who's good at this and who knows how to work with this. At a therapeutic level, vitamin C is an antihistamine, it's an antitoxin, it's an antibiotic, and it has antiviral properties. The pharmacological effect of this vitamin at a high concentration is what turns it into a powerful medicine. If your body wants 35,000 milligrams of vitamin C to fight an infection, then 10,000 milligrams won't get the same results. The key is to take enough vitamin C and take it regularly through the day and take it long enough for it to work effectively as a detox tool, as a medicine, and as an amazing natural answer to many simple illnesses. If you want to have a vitamin C flush to cleanse your liver, intestines, and cells of any toxins, viruses, colds, flus, or general illnesses, or as part of your detox plan, which is what I do personally, then do the following. Get a pure, quality vitamin C powder, such as calcium ascorbate, or a good blend of vitamin C and bioflavonoids, which helps its absorption. Take 1 teaspoon of the powder for every 50 kilos of body weight, mixed with a glass of juice. This is roughly 5,000 milligrams per 50 kilo, or 1,000 milligrams for every 10 kilos in body weight. And do this every hour until you have diarrhea. This is when you will be at a saturation point and when many of the poisons in your body are flushed with the vitamin C therapy into your blood. It also works as a nathroquinine and you will get diarrhea. The diarrhea is not comfortable, but it will only last until some buildup has been eliminated from your digestive tract, And then you just need to keep taking a therapeutic dose of vitamin C every day while you're on your detox plan after that. What I do now, when I wrote this book in 2008, I was doing that. That's a very gentle way to do it. What I do now is I take 30 grams, which is 2 tablespoons, which is 30,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I put it in a cup, I half fill it with apple juice, and I chuff it down my throat, and then I do that every half an hour, and I will take up to 30, 60, 90,000 milligrams, usually an hour and a half, 90,000 milligrams, and then I wait a couple of hours, and then I get the diarrhea. That is a super vitamin C flush through my body. I often get a little bit of cramping in my digestive tract because it's pretty full on, and I make sure that I drink water and then I don't do anything, and then the next day I might do that again, and I might do that for 3 days in a row while I'm on a juice cleanse. I do not do this when I'm on a water fast. I'll do it on a juice cleanse and I'll do it for the maximum of 3 days in a row, and then I will not do it again. If you're under stress, then a good daily dose of vitamin C, as in 1 teaspoon, 5,000 milligrams in a glass of juice, makes a lot of sense because we don't produce our own vitamin C, and it really helps repair your adrenal glands. And even doing this while you're on your juice cleanse is super awesome. It's a wonderful thing to do. Herbal colon cleansing. Many illnesses today can be avoided if we have a clean digestive tract. This involves regular colon cleansing to rid the body of unwanted toxins. Well, the vitamin C therapy is an excellent colon cleanse. The colon starts where your small intestine ends, and basically the role of the colon is to reabsorb liquid back into your system, pass nutrients through to your liver, for reprocessing and assimilation, and of course to eliminate the unneeded waste matter from the body in the form of feces. There are 3 main parts of the colon, which is the large intestine. The first is the ascending colon, and that comes up from the ileocecal valve from the small intestine. And that's located on the lower right-hand side of your abdomen, just above your hip bone. And it ends at a sharp turn called the hepatic flexure, which is just below the bottom rib cage on the right side. When chyme, the liquid matter, passes up through this part of the colon, it's very slushy and full of liquid as well as waste products. Now here, this information is important on your detox, because the second part of the colon is from the hepatic portal, it's from that corner underneath the ribs, and it's called the transverse colon. And this is where the liquid is reabsorbed through to your hepatic portal vein, and it carries across to the liver for recycling of all of the liquids and nutrients in your body. So this is the recirculation recycling point in your digestive tract. And it's located, it's very important because a lot of people don't realize that all of the liquid that you swallow that stays in the digestive tract gets reabsorbed into the system, back to the liver to be used again. And so if you've been having a lot of toxins and poisons, if you've got a lot of parasites in your large intestine, there's so many pockets through here where parasites live, and they have their excretions and wastes, and it's fairly disgusting. And we've all got putrefaction in our digestive tract, and that's pretty putrid. And all of these liquids that are coming up are reabsorbing this back into your body, and this is autotoxicity. It's really something that we need to address when we're detoxing. It's very, very important that we address this, and that we address this on a regular basis as people, and each of us need to. The chyme at this point, it becomes hard faecal matter as the liquids absorb back up. And then the transverse colon ends at the splenic flexure, which is your left-hand side, just under your rib cage. And that is really when it becomes hard, and that's the descending colon there, and that's what's called feces, that hard matter that we excrete, and that's where often people develop little pulps, and they developed, and then that's where people, when they have bowel cancer, it's usually around this area at the left-hand side, around the transverse colon and around the descending colon. And so it's super important to keep this healthy and detoxed. Auto-intoxication can create health problems. The colon is very important as it's the base where your body either passes clean liquid back into the system for recycling, or it passes toxic fluid back into your system for recycling at the transverse section. There are many small pockets in the colon, which is about 2.5 centimetres round. These small pockets are where old putrefied wastes accumulate and create trouble for your health. When we pass clean fluid back to the liver, this eases the stress on the body and allows for a healthy system. However, when we pass toxic fluid back into the bloodstream from the colon, we can create auto-intoxication, which is dangerous to your health as it allows your body to recycle dirty and unhealthy liquids, and this adds to stress in the whole system, including your liver and kidneys, which have to filter the toxic matter. If we just go about our normal eating habits and don't bother to cleanse the colon, then eventually you will have built up waste matter that compacts itself against the colon wall, and all the fluids that are reabsorbed into your body will have to pass through this toxic, compacted filter. I can't overemphasize that enough. Auto-intoxication is when you are passing waste matter back into your body that technically should have been eliminated a long time ago. This compacted matter along the colon wall can become a breeding ground for unfriendly flora, parasites, mucus, great big black straps of old mucus. And I'll talk about that in another podcast about the digestive tract. I won't go into too much detail now. But herbal colon cleansing techniques are to combine your herbal colon cleanse with a reduced diet containing no processed foods, alcohol, caffeine, heavy proteins, wheat or cereals, as in the wholesome vegetarian vegan detox plan. Great way. Or even a juice cleanse. Fantastic. Intestinal cleansing involves sweeping the digestive tract clear of putrefied and accumulated waste using fiber such as oat bran, rice bran, psyllium hulls with water and some cleansing herbs. The idea between intestinal cleansing is you spend a week or two taking a simple and unprocessed diet containing our wholesome vegetarian detox diet, and you'll consume juices with that, and the diet will depend upon your physical health. And the intestinal cleansing program, it's become super popular. I have so many people doing this. It's estimated that the average adult has between 2 and 9 kilos of uneliminated waste matter in their digestive tract at any point in time, and the intestinal cleansing method is to boost your system as it tunes up the smooth muscle in the digestive tract, increasing peristalsis. This method, your body uses to move food through the system, and if you have slow peristalsis, you'll have slow digestion, sluggish digestion, poor elimination, and an increased chance of having accumulated waste. You're also not absorbing nutrients properly, and your digestion's poor, your assimilation's poor, and your nutrient profile will be low in your cells, and you will not be as healthy as you can be. An internal cleanse for a colon cleanse is super important to do, preferably once a year. Cleanse yourself of parasites, cleanse yourself of toxic buildup, cleanse yourself of abdominal obesity and the fat that's around your belly, which is often putrefaction. The best herbs for colon cleansing in conjunction with the cleansing diet are the ones that generally sweep away toxins and release parasites and unwanted material from your body effectively and gently. Once you start to use herbs for cleansing the colon, you will notice that you're also taking measures to cleanse your liver, your kidneys, your bloodstream, and all the cells in your body, because you're not recirculating so much toxin in your body and you're eliminating the stress on these organs and you're recycling good, clean blood. Black walnut hulls are important. This is Juglans nigra. It's an important colon cleansing herb. It increases peristalsis, super high in iodine. It tones the colon wall with its tannin action. It removes nasty parasites. And it's very high in iodine, which helps increase metabolism and also encouraging heavy metal chelation and taking the poisons out. Black walnut hull is acidic in action, and it helps remove unwanted floras and alkaline-loving yeasts. The acid-producing Lactobacillus acidophilus appears unaffected by the presence of black walnut, so it's selective, and only the unwanted floras will disappear. And hemorrhoids are also relieved with black walnut hulls, and so are little pulps, which are little nuts that form they sort of hang on, they're like little tumours that form in the bowel. Aloe vera is healing and cleansing and toning to the colon and the liver. It's good to relieve inflammation. It's often combined with other colon cleansing herbs. Juice aloe vera leaves, peel them and juice them. It reduces heavy built-up mucus lining. Peppermint, why do you think it's one of my favourite foods on a water fast? Because it is excellent to deodorize the colon, and it helps relax a smooth muscle, and it can relieve a spastic colon, and it can just help reduce all kinds of toxins in the digestive tract everywhere. Barberry, Beriberi vulgaris, contains berberine, which is a primary alkaloid, and it is a potent antibiotic, astringent, and antifungal. It controls the overgrowth of Candida albicans. So if you have any yeast infections, taking Beriberi, it operates as a bactericide, making it excellent in herbal bowel cleansing program. Tabebuia avalanche powdiaco, it contains Lapachol. That gets rid of Heliobacter pylori. It gets rid of all kinds of bacterias, viruses. It's amazing to take this. Cascara sagrada is a herbal laxative that contains bitter compounds that increase peristalsis, act as a purgative, increase the flow of bile, and improves the growth of friendly bacteria in the colon. Cascara is regularly used for constipation, liver congestion, dyspepsia, gallstones, hemorrhoids, jaundice, and intestinal parasites. Slippery elm. The bark of slippery elm works as a fiber, lowers bowel transit time, absorbs toxins from the colon, and regulates intestinal flora. Slippery elm is known to have a demucolent, emollient, and wound healing effect on the digestive tract. The demucolent expectorant effects of this herb assist in releasing old mucus straps from the colon lining. Senna leaf. The senna sides in senna leaf have a cathartic effect, stimulating peristalsis in the large intestine to bring about bowel action in 6 to 10 hours. Take this one at night. The senna sides are absorbed from the small intestine to act on the nerves of the large intestine, which stimulates action of the colon. The anthraquinines are absorbed, and the laxative effect can be carried to breastfed babies through the milk, so be careful. Senna also causes some gripping pains and is best taken with carminative herbs like ginger, peppermint, and fennel. Do not take senna regularly, only on a detox. Anything that increases the anthraquinines and the nathroquinines that increase peristalsis in the body can create a slackness in the smooth muscle, and your body can become dependent on them. You do not want them. You only want to do a bowel cleanse and take bowel cleansing herbs intermittently, and preferably only once or twice a year. Pawpaw, Carissa papaya. The leaves, stem, and fruit of pawpaw have been used to aid digestion and elimination. Papain, of course, is the digestive enzyme, and the cut long chain proteins into smaller chains and the individual amino acids in the digestive tract. Papain helps digest fats and carbohydrates into usable compounds, and it also acts to eliminate parasites and microbes from the body. It's a super antimicrobial herb for any viruses, poisons, or illnesses in the body. Papaya is really, really good. I hope you're enjoying listening to my podcast, Project Wellness. My name is Dominique Liv-Kamal. I just want to say one thing about the large intestine, and that is betaine. The active constituent in beetroot is one of the strongest antioxidants, and beetroot is the food of the bowel, and beetroot is the food of the blood. And whenever I'm doing like juice cleanse, I always make sure I add in beetroot. Some of my other favorites, just to give you the heads up, is I'll take an entire kilo of carrots with one full lemon, run them through the juicer and drink that. And I'll do that 3, 4, 5 times a day. Carrot and lemon juice is one of my favorite juices. My favorite detox foods are, first of all, if I can get through that first 24 hours of a water fast and take it through to 2 or 3 days, that is the best way for me to cleanse my body. I feel so good. If I can wake up in the morning and instead of making a cup of tea, make myself a beautiful celery juice with lemon and drink that, and then maybe have green apple juice all day, that's one of my favorite ways to have a juice cleanse as well. I love a wholesome vegetarian detox diet across a weekend when I'm having a pure vegan diet and I'm taking my supplements. And then on Monday or Tuesday, I switch over and do a juice cleanse. I love detoxing. Detoxing is so good for my body. I hope you've enjoyed my work. My website is medicineroom.com.au. My name is Dominique Liv-Kamal, and I am all about wellness and joy, and I want to share that with you here on my podcast, Project Wellness. Blessings, light, and love. Have a beautiful day. Stay happy, stay safe. Stay healthy.